This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Surprisingly, this is one of those stories I forgot about until a few days ago when I was talking to a school friend on call and I got reminded of this. She was pretty freaked when I told her. You see, this happened when I was roughly maybe 7 or 8, so some of the details are a bit fuzzy, but I remember it pretty vividly. This may seem like unimportant context, but my family had just moved to America and were renting the top portion of your regular suburban house in a pretty safe cul-de-sac. I had friends, they were triplets, about 3 or 4 houses down. Not far at all. And every day I'd go hang out with them. And around 9 or 10 in the night, my older brother, around 11 or 12 I'd say, would make the 2-minute walk and come and get me and walk me home since I was pretty young. One night he came to get me as usual. The sun wasn't fully down, but it was getting pretty dark. We started down the walk as normal when he started casting glances over his shoulder. I didn't really notice until he shoved me hard away from the sidewalk and between 2 houses. Each house had a huge fence that separated their backyard, not ours though, and he'd made me crouch behind the fence. I remember being really scared, but more confused since I had no damn idea what the hell was going on. More specifically, he was a pretty big prankster. Once he convinced me my older sister crashed her car into the ocean, so I didn't really believe him when he turned and said, "Walk behind the houses. I think someone's following us." Now, looking back now, he was probably trying to keep me calm. However, whatever calm was left in my tiny 8-year-old body was gone the moment that I turned around and looked. The man had followed us behind the houses, and he was just by the edge of a few houses down near a different fence line. He had a black hoodie on, with the hood up, black sweatpants, and white sneakers. I had pretty bad eyesight due to some health problems, but back then it was crystal clear. And I could see with horrifying clarity that his jaw was just hanging open. Like he was just standing there with his jaw hung open. It was horrifying. I think now that I'm older, maybe he had some kind of medical condition that affected his jaw, or maybe he did crack, I don't know. But back then, I could have sworn on God that I was seeing some kind of demon. Now anyway, my brother, when he saw that I was looking and getting ready to freak out, he told me, "Just run, as fast as I can, to our house." And we booked it. Neither of us looked back, but we were so scared out of our minds. And like I said, we only rented the top portion of the house, so the bottom, with a sliding door in the backyard, belonged to some other tenant. I don't remember if she was home or not, but I remember tugging that thing open and locking it as fast as I can. And when I looked up, he was there in the yard, a little away from the door, just staring at us with that jaw. Me and my brother told my sister and my mother immediately. My father was away for a work trip at the time, but nothing came of it. Not until the day after. We went to meet my dad at his warehouse, which had a small live-in portion above it where we lazed around until he was ready to head home with us. Around dusk, he came up and told us that we might have to wait since the police were there. He walked us around to the back window of the small area to show us police officers all around the backyard area of the warehouses. There were a few in line and a white van parked on the grass by the edge of the woods. Like I said, I was pretty young, so I don't remember many details of what actually happened, but I do remember my dad, who hadn't been told about the day prior, telling us that they found a man and a woman in the van. The man, he said, had his mouth hanging wide open. He seemed really disturbed while telling me about the whole thing and wouldn't answer any more questions about the woman. Maybe she was dead. I have zero idea. I do know that they were arrested on trespassing charges. I don't know anything else, and I haven't asked about it. I doubt that he'd remember. It's been over a decade and he's pushing 70, but it freaks me out to this day. I still can't believe it happened and I don't have any answers for it. I talked to my brother briefly about it in hopes that he remembered more than I do, but all I got was a long tirade about whatever medical condition the guy probably had for his mouth to be like that. He's an annoying medical student now, and sometimes I think maybe the guy didn't mean any harm and was just drugged out of his mind, but this was in the world's safest neighborhood and doesn't explain why or how he showed up at my dad's workplace.
Hey guys, thanks so much for all the support. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please feel free to do so.
Stalked. After completing my college education, I'd been living with my parents for a little over a year. I remember feeling grateful for their kindness and patience during that time, as I struggled to find a job and a suitable place to live. It was not an easy process, but I kept myself motivated and optimistic and eventually landed a job that I enjoyed in a cozy apartment that I could call my own. The job I got was to work from home since people were still scared that Corona could strike again and they didn't want to risk it. The pay I received was quite reasonable, especially for a recent graduate like me, and it allowed me to purchase things I needed online on platforms like Amazon. Unfortunately, I couldn't control my urge to keep shopping, and my expenses started to increase gradually. Soon after, I found myself scrolling through the app for hours, and even though I didn't need anything, I ended up ordering stuff anyway. Over time, I realized I had developed an unhealthy shopping habit, and it was causing me more harm than good. That day, as I heard the doorbell ring, I quickly made my way to the front door. On opening the door, I came face to face with a middle-aged woman who was delivering my order. I couldn't help but notice how well she looked for her age, so I decided to compliment her to be polite and make her feel good about herself. She blushed and responded with a heartfelt, "You really think so? Thanks. My husband never complimented me like that." Her response made me feel a little uneasy, and I couldn't help but think that she might be getting neglected by her husband or that she was probably divorced. In an attempt to make her feel good, I said, "His loss." She smiled and thanked me again before I closed the door to my apartment. However, as I looked back, I wish I hadn't said that. Ever since that day, every time I placed an order for food or any other item, I noticed this same delivery woman showing up at my doorstep to deliver it. Initially, I didn't find it unusual, and in fact, I appreciated the consistency in her service. However, with each subsequent delivery, I began to notice that she would give me strange compliments that made me feel deeply uncomfortable. She'd comment on my physical appearance and make personal remarks that crossed the line of professionalism. Her behavior left me feeling uneasy and violated. As I continued to order from Amazon, her behavior became increasingly disturbing. I'd catch her staring at me through my windows, even when I had the blinds closed. With each other, the delivery timings only got later and later, and this made me feel uneasy. I couldn't shake off the feeling that she was doing it deliberately. It was as if she was keeping tabs on me, stalking me even. I tried to ignore it at first, but the feeling of frustration and fear only grew stronger. In the end, I made the difficult decision to stop ordering stuff, hoping that it would put an end to her stalking behavior. One night, I was startled awake by someone ringing my doorbell non-stop. I checked the time, and it was past midnight. Without much thought, I got up and went to check who it was, and as I opened the door, I found the delivery woman standing there with red eyes and smelling like alcohol. She grabbed my collar all of a sudden and asked in a very drunk voice why I stopped ordering stuff. I was terrified as to why she was doing this, but before I could say anything, she passed out. Now, I wasn't the kind of guy who would leave a drunk woman alone at my doorstep so predators could take their chances, no matter how much of a creep the woman was. But I didn't want to let her inside my house either, so I called the police and informed them about everything. Soon after, two officers arrived and escorted her. A few days went by, and that day I was out shopping at Walmart. When I came home, I was terrified to see that woman sitting on my couch waiting for me. She had a crazed look in her eyes as she looked at me entering. I asked, what is she doing inside and how she got in? And she just looked at me weirdly and said, I'm here for you. I want to make you the happiest man on earth. Trust me, being a man doesn't automatically mean that we would feel flattered or happy if a woman were to stalk us. On the contrary, it could be an incredibly frightening experience, as I was at the moment. I felt a sense of unease and vulnerability, knowing that if things went wrong, she could easily make false accusations against me. As a man, I also felt that I might not be believed if I tried to report what was happening to me. Feeling terrified and overwhelmed and unsure of what to do, I nervously stepped out of my apartment and quickly dialed my mom's phone number. As soon as she answered, I poured out my heart and explained what had happened in my life over the past few days. My mom's voice soon turned fierce with anger as she listened to my story, and she promised to come to my aid immediately. Within just a few minutes, my mom arrived at my doorstep, and before heading in, she suggested that I go to her house where I'd be safe. I don't know what my mom had said to that woman, but after that day, I never saw her again. Before we parted ways, my mom offered me a word of advice that I've never forgotten. She warned me never to compliment another woman unless it was her or my girlfriend.
Back when I was a junior in high school, this guy transferred in from out of state who developed a serious obsession with me. It started out kind of harmless at first. He would try talking to me, but only ever about the weirdest stuff. Like if he'd been all sweet about asking me out, I definitely would have felt guilty turning him down, but because he was so obnoxious, I had zero qualms with telling him to get lost. A good example would be the first time I rejected him. Most guys might just take it in their stride, maybe think I was playing hard to get, but this kid heard my no and immediately just punched a locker right next to me. The sound of it had me jumping out of my skin, and the few doubts I had about rejecting him completely evaporated the moment he acted out like that. He didn't just punch the locker either, because he'd caused such a scene, he literally ran away from the lockers at full speed. It was seriously the most embarrassing and terrifying thing that had ever happened to me at that point. Well, at the hands of another human being, anyway. He did seem to take a few steps back following this little outburst, but he soon redoubled his efforts, joining every after-school club I was a member of. When they were done, he'd follow me home at a distance. One time my dad caught him doing it and chased him up the street after that. It became this huge family issue. I just found the whole thing thoroughly mortifying, I guess because I just didn't get how serious it was. It was annoying, kind of scary even, but I didn't think he had what it took to actually hurt me. But as it turned out, that wasn't really the issue. After a few months of my turning down dates, he told me, if I didn't want to go out with him, that he would take his own life. I still said no. I found stuff like that sort of emotional blackmail, to be frankly disgusting. And instead of having its intended effect to garner my sympathy, I hated this kid more than ever. The whole feeling was grounded in the idea that he just wouldn't do anything, that he didn't have the guts, the balls. He was all empty threats and grand theatrical displays, or so I thought. The next few days, he was missing from school. Rumors ran around that he actually did take his own life, and I'd be lying if I said it didn't freak me out think he actually had gone through and done it. I mean, that'd be something that'd stay with me for the rest of my life. A kid told me he'd end himself if I didn't date him. I didn't, so he did. But God, if I didn't feel like punching him in the face as soon as he showed up again, I figured he'd just skip school for a few days to scare me a little bit. Mission accomplished. And this confirmed that he didn't have the balls to do it. He was wearing bandages when he showed up again and actually cornered me at lunch to say, "You made me do this." I just ignored him. I didn't want to actually ask to see the cuts, but a part of me is still so effing sure that they were covering up nothing at all. But the next big incident was at the end of our senior year. After a club meeting, I stayed behind to help clean up. My friend had stepped out to go grab something from their locker, so I didn't see my stalker walk back into the room. He must have just saw his opportunity, came up behind me, and grabbed my chest. I don't remember what he said, but I was so freaked out that I actually squealed. That's the point I got the cops involved. As the room's security camera captured the whole thing, the whole ordeal ended up in court. He got a conviction, and I think his handsiness actually cost him his place at his preferred college, too. It was a little piece of revenge that I cherished, but it turned out it just gave him a whole bunch of free time that he could use to stalk me. I became absolutely paranoid with him hanging around my college campus, and by that stage, he was exhibiting every possible behavior of a controlling, manipulative sociopath. I just remember being terrified that he'd eventually try something worse. I finally transferred schools, and about a year later, I started getting emails from him, most of which were apologies for how mean he was to me, and asking if I forgave him.
Big savings are in the air. Don't miss your chance at 15% cash back during Rakuten's Big Give Week. Shop and get rewarded at your favorite stores like Adidas, KitchenAid, Expedia, and hundreds more. So go ahead and refresh your closet, spruce up your home, book that trip, and much more. But 15% cash back is only from May 4th to the 11th. So join now. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app and join for free and start saving. That's Rakuten.
But the emails quickly turned into him begging for my Facebook info. I had him blocked on Facebook since high school, and I absolutely didn't want him to know where I was going to school, so I ended up blocking him on my email too. Since then, I've not heard from him again, and I have also moved across the country for another reason entirely, but the move honestly brought me a lot of relief that I wouldn't accidentally run into him sometime. And the whole cycle might start again.
Back when I was in college, I used to work evening shifts at an independent coffee shop that happened to be right next door to this little bagel place. I think there must have been some degree of collusion between the two owners, as the bagel place was geared to be like a health nut place. Whereas all the baked goods the coffee shop produced had like diabetes-inducing levels of sugar in them. So naturally, I'd often gone to the bagel place to grab a bite to eat before clocking in for my shift. Since the sugar craft that followed, one of the cinnamon buns was about as debilitating as they come. But that's how I met Tom. Tom worked full-time at the bagel place, and he was there to take my order like 9 out of 10 times that I stopped by. It wasn't long before he knew my order off by heart. Shortly after that, we were on first-name terms, and the more familiar we got, the more little gentle flirting entered into our daily exchanges. Wasn't mad about it? He was kind of cute, and it certainly didn't sting that he started giving me discounts. After a month or so, he asked me if I have a boyfriend. I said no. So he asked me if I'd like to grab a drink or something after our shift ends. The bagel place and the coffee shop closed within a half an hour of each other. I said sure, because why not, right? But oh my god, if I'd have known that kind of guy Tom was and have just resigned myself to getting fat from the Danishes at work, a few extra pounds would be easy to shake. But a full-blown stalker, not so much. Okay, so I didn't meet Tom after work that day, as I was too busy with an upcoming deadline. However, we did arrange to meet over the weekend, so we could see if we click. It definitely wasn't the greatest state I'd ever been on. Like, I don't think whatever chemistry we had really translated into a social conversational setting. But I didn't write them off altogether, and we agreed to go out next time we were both free. It's so weird to think he actually gave me space at first. Like, we went 48 hours at a time without talking sometimes. It really did seem chill. But then came the day when I walked into the bagel place and the manager was working the evening shift. This is highly out of the ordinary. So I asked her if Tom was sick or something. It's then she hits me with Tom isn't employed here anymore. We decided it was best that we parted ways. I'm shocked. So while I'm waiting for my order, I text Tom to ask him what the heck happened with his parting ways business. He replies pretty quickly, telling me that the manager had caught him giving me a discount and fired him as a result. Immediately, I felt terribly guilty, and I get the idea that if I pay off the difference from what was owed, I could maybe talk her into giving him his old job back. So right when I collected my bagel, I politely offered to pay back the discount if she considered offering Thomas's job back. I kind of embellished a little, making out that I'm the one who manipulated him into doing it, and the whole time the manager has this wow expression on her face. I think I'm making a solid point. She comes back with, "Oh, is that what he told you?" According to her, Tom hadn't been fired for giving discounts. It was her own policy that employees of local businesses get money off their food. He'd been fired because she'd received a number of complaints from female customers regarding his behavior towards them. His no was the flirt a little offered discounts, then eventually asked for the number. Those who handed it over didn't have a problem. Those that refused got cussed out before he refused service altogether. She claimed she actually had security footage of him going off when a customer and some of the language he used was absolutely abhorrent. She planned on giving him a final warning over the incident that she prefers to work with and mentor junior staff instead of just kicking them to the curb. But the one thing she can't deal with is liars. Not realizing the footage came with audio, Tom tries to lie his way out of the predicament by claiming the disagreement was because the lady had tried to give him a fake $10 bill. That's like a pathological level of dishonesty, right? They're still insisting on the lies when confronted with overwhelming evidence to the contrary. I just remember apologizing for the intrusion and thanked her for setting me straight before I headed over to work to clock in. Tom was still expecting a reply at that point, but I just had no idea what to say to him. I wasn't even sure if I was ever going to talk to him again. I mean, that could have been me getting cussed out if I had the gall to turn them down. When I finished my shift, I got my phone out of my purse and I find that I had a grand total of 12 butt notifications, all with Tom's name attached. They started off all gentle at first. Have a good shift. Text me when you finish, etc. But around 8 p.m., there was obviously a point where he learned of the interaction between me and his formal manager, and he was not happy about that. Not one bit. Oh, so you're just going to believe the exploitative employer over the person she's been taking advantage of? This is exactly what's wrong with the American labor market. Even the workers are bootlickers was the general tone of his messages. I'm not even saying I entirely disagree. But the whole thing left such a bad taste in my mouth, but I wasn't interested in seeing him at all. When I got home from work, I blocked Tom's number, deleted my contact details, and figured that would be that. But oh, how wrong I was. A few days later, I'm working the evening shift, crouched down, stocking the mini fridge. I finish up, close the fridge. Then when I stand and turn around, Tom stood at the register. I tried to be as warm and friendly as possible, asking how he's been and stuff. But I completely avoid the fact that we haven't spoken since his little text tirade. At first, I think I dodged a bullet, as he's perfectly civil and goes on to order a drink. But like, right as I'm handing him his drink, he decides to make it super, super awkward. So I guess you're pretty much done with me, He didn't say it in that particularly aggressive way, but it was loud and jarring enough to attract the attention of almost everyone in the store. I feel like I'm about to cringe out of existence, but somehow I maintain my corporal form and say in as lower voice as possible, "This isn't the time or place. Please drop it." He just smiles, nods, and starts walking away. But instead of actually walking out of the door like I thought it was going to, he just takes a seat right in the middle of the store and proceeds to just stare at the register area in between baby sips of this coffee. And that's basically how it started. Tom would show up for coffee almost every time I was working, and every time he would just sit there for like an hour, staring me down whenever I was at the register. He was never rude or awkward about it, not after the initial incident anyway. So despite the fact that my boss had assured me that any funny business would result in a lifetime ban, he was reluctant to kick him out for being a little weird, as he phrased it. That got to be a kind of running joke about it to everyone calling him Vicky Stalker, and I have to admit that one about upselling the Portuguese custard tarts until he was too fat to chase me. That one really didn't make me smile. But boy did that stop being funny. After the first time, he followed me home. After that, things got serious. I called the cops, got some advice from their fixated persons unit, and they actually paid Tom a visit to warn him off stalking me. But apparently, he was only deterred for about a week, and what followed was a painfully slow escalation of intensity that culminated in the following. And that the 24 times had followed me up till that point, Tom had either stayed on the street corner and watched me walk into my building, or stood outside the building and looked up at the windows like he was trying to work out exactly which unit I was in. But on the day in question, I was so used to him keeping his distance that I didn't even notice that he was almost right behind me by the time I got to my door. Seeing him so close actually elicited the kind of squeal from me I'm definitely not proud of. But Jesus Christ, seeing him right there just about scared the poop out of me. I absolutely bolted inside. Never been so grateful that the lock was operated by a key fob instead of an actual key. Tom just stayed at the door, banging on it, and telling me to get my butt out there, that I had to be an adult and talk to him about it. Whatever it was, since he was banging on the door and screaming in the street, I was totally freaking out. And naturally, my first move is to call the cops. But I think he was banging so hard, acting like I was the one inside because the building I live in at the time looked exactly like all the other family homes on the block. To him, I could have quite easily been the only person living there only. That wasn't quite the case. I had the top floor of the house. Well, the bottom floor was occupied entirely by this Puerto Rican guy who worked night shifts. Keep in mind that this whole thing is going on in a Saturday afternoon, smack bang in the middle of this guy's sleeping time. So while I'm praying for the cops to show up in time, an unlikely savior is about to come to my rescue. So imagine you're me. Oh, you can hear us. Biggie. If you think that you can just punk guys like me and I'll face the consequences, you're dumber than you look. Bang, bang, bang. The out of nowhere and even deeper, louder voice starts booming over the first like, "Hey, are you crazy? I'm trying to sleep here." My neighbor from downstairs. His name actually turned out to be Luis, is wearing nothing but a pair of shorts, and he's screaming. And Tom's face as he backs down the steps of our building. Tom starts saying something back to him, but Luis keeps shouting over him, telling him to get lost. Get it doesn't like he's interested in backing down just yet. Then again, out of nowhere, I hear Luis say, "Oh, you're gonna tase me, bro," before the confrontation gets physical. Everyone else in the streets is fixated on the fistfight that's now going down, but all I can focus on is what Luis said, "Tase me." Tom and brought a taser, presumably to use on me. Now by that point, because the cops were getting called about the fight on top of my stalking complaint, a marked patrol car rolls onto the scene. With a by now bloody Tom trying to walk away from the scene, the cops initially go for Luis, drawing their guns and demanding a show of hands. Buddy responds with, "Hey, I'm the victim here. This guy just tried to tase me." The cops and I watch as Tom starts to walk faster away from the scene, which obviously prompts the cops to chase him down and arrest him for carrying a concealed weapon or whatever they had in mind. Finally, my stalker was in police custody, only wouldn't catch charges for the actual stalking. He ended up going to jail for the one thing cops could stick to him. the contents of his backpack. On the one day that Tom had decided to act on this little fixation and move in to take me, or whatever, he had come with a pre-prepared kidnap kit, along with a few other choice items. According to the detective I spoke to after the fact, Tom had chosen to confront me that day while carrying duct tape, a length of electrical cord, a kind of retractable baton, and a box of 100 different contraceptives. For some reason, it's that last part that particularly creeped me out, not so much their inclusion, but the sheer freaking number of them. At his trial for conspiracy to commit kidnapping, Tom's attorney argued the state was trying to wrongfully prosecute a man who had been unfortunate enough to be assaulted by an unhinged parolee, whilst caring nothing more about malicious than home supplies. The prosecution had a different story. Not only had they obtained CCTV image of Tom showing up at my job on a total of 31 separate occasions over the course of 2 months, but a search of his home had turned up some extremely disturbing discoveries. What Tom had in his backpack that day was just a fraction of the kidnap kit that it assembled. He in all kinds of handcuffs, ankle cuffs, ring gags, and latex masks. But by far the most disturbing was the surgical tools and the Siva flooring canister face mask combo. Yeah, I had to ask what Siva flooring was too. It turns out, it's similar to chloroform that knocks you out, stuff that you put on a rag. He had tons of creepy stuff on his hard drive, including guides to kidnapping, hiding, and eventually breaking his prospective victims through a combination of brainwashing and beating. He also had a bunch of foreign language comic books that seemed to focus heavily on carnal torture, I suppose you could say. The prosecution just piled on all this evidence until it was quite clear to both the judge and jury that Tom was an extremely dangerous individual. I was terrified he'd escape justice via some loophole or something. Maybe he'd have rich parents who could pay for some smart lawyer. But no. Not even his clean rap sheet saved him from getting a solid 22-year sentence for conspiracy to commit kidnapping. As you can imagine, it was quite an ordeal, and I had to make a number of court appearances to confirm that I was one of the subjects of his many fixations. It was the most stressful experience of my life, without a shadow of a doubt, and a part of me wonders just how many of those 22 years he'll really end up doing. And when he does get out, will he really have changed? Or am I going to be walking on my driveway one day when I feel a hand on my shoulder? My goodness. Turn around and see the face of a man who wants to finish what he started.